Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
What does motion sound like? With Kizikans free shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday?
I don't even know what day of the week it is, Rob.
Technically, it's Tuesday, but we'll just post it today.
I haven't seen the fresh air in years, it feels like.
I haven't been outside since Eisenhower was in office.
You know what? I would like our listeners to go onto Facebook, though, and go to Rob. I'm sure you've already seen it, but please meet Freddie Martinez. He's become a friend of our podcast. And Robbie is, as they say in Disney, is very good friends with Freddie Martinez. Wink, wink, wink.
Yeah.
Freddie, is he here?
No, he just.
Oh, I thought he was here for a minute.
He's staying with me while they fumigate his apartment in Manhattan Plaza.
Oh, that's so nice. Well, I hear he's got an album that might be coming out soon, yes. So I'm excited to hear about some of his cabaret songs that he's going to be putting together.
He's very excited. As Kevin was saying, as you know, our good friend, he's our good friend. Freddie Martinez showed up a long time ago on this podcast. He's a washed up actor. Mm-hmm. Who's only done some very fine regional work.
Yeah, he's a fantastic regional actor.
Yes, he's always the first one you call when, you know, Brad Oscar or Richard Kind say they're unavailable. You know, Freddie will come in and save the day, and he's quite wonderful. But he's making a series of videos about the business because he's seeing everybody else do it online. And actually, hold on, here he comes. He's just out of the shower. Hold on, Freddie.
Oh, good. Oh gosh. Okay.
Yes. Hello. Who is this?
Freddie, it's Kevin and all of your listeners. Everyone's really excited to talk to you, Freddie.
Well, hello, everyone.
So good to talk to you.
Hello out there.
Hello.
Hello out there in TV land.
No, yes. No, Freddie, it's a podcast.
Where's the camera?
It's actually
– Where's
no,
the
no,
camera?
Freddie, it's
no, – I was once on the DuPont Network. We used to do live television programs back then. I was in a production by a young Neil Simon called – What? That's a Quarter? Which took place in a deli. It starred a young, virile Abe Vigoda. And as the waitress at the deli, it was a young Kay Ballard. Now, I thought that only Kay and I's interaction would be contained to the on-camera. Technically, I was a stand-in for Abe Vigoda. I was never actually on camera. I had two lines that was cut because at the time there was an assassination attempt on Adlai Stevenson. And they had to break in and cover that.
But, oh, wow.
That was a horrible day. So Kay and I said, well, we have downtime. What should we do? And Kay took me for a root beer float at Howard Johnson's and then gave me my first hand job underneath booth 7 at the Hojo's. And every time I saw her, I would say, hello, Kay. Remember the time at Howard Johnson's? And she would look at me and say, I don't remember who you are. This was when she was doing Molly at the Uris.
Freddie, when are we going to see another episode on Facebook?
Well, first of all, I need my in my apartment in Manhattan Plaza. I don't know how to use my computer.
Oh,
that's a major issue. Unfortunately, it's been running since I first bought it in 1997 after attending a matinee performance of Juan Darion, a carnival mass.
Yep. Yep.
And Brendan, who's young man who lives in G4, he comes over and he helps me, so he has to turn it on for me.
Okay. All right. Well, we look forward to that. We're really excited to see some more of
I'm excited
some of your
to
wisdom.
See Brendan. He's a good child.
I bet.
He's got a young lady friend. I'm very concerned. Oh. I think she's marrying him for a green card, but I can't prove it. And every time I try to go and talk to him about it, he says things to me like, I don't want to hear it, and we're not allowed to use that term anymore.
He bought me a nice book, though, for letting me stay with him. He bought me An Actor Prepares. He said there's some really good exercises in there we should be working on. So I'm very excited.
I have no comment to be made on that one. But
Chapter 7, How to Balance Your Budget and Your Brilliance.
That's lovely, Freddy. Thank you.
There it is.
Yes, I was working on a scratch and sniff version of The Artist's Way, but I couldn't find the right odor for Ripley Greer.
Stupid. It's so stupid. So stupid.
I was going to work on a pop-up book for the kids, but it's very hard when you see a sign pop up that just says insufficient funds.
Oh my god. Bye, Freddy. See you later.
Bye, Freddy.
So yeah, he's going to do some videos. He's going to show you how to do some resumes and stuff.
And if you guys are curious what all of the last 5 minutes was, just go on to Facebook, go to either Rob's profile, go to our Broadway Curtain Instagram. Just look up Freddy.
Freddy will do more classes for people. So yeah, so now wait, how are you killing your quarantine time? No, I'm asking you. What are you? Because the listeners can't talk back to me.
Okay. Well, I'm raising my 9-month-old child, so that has been a beautiful thing. It's funny because you think you've got all this time, and Sutton and I keep joking that if we had no child, we'd be done with Game of Thrones, we'd be done with Schitt's Creek, we'd be done. It's amazing how our day is filled with naps and dinners and cleaning up after he.
Mine too. Makes a mess. Mine too.
But I will say, what I watch lately, I have taken such deep solace in our art that we love, that we talk about so much. So I have gone down, and my favorite thing actually ties into this. I've watched a lot of old shows on YouTube. And so we were talking about, like, I mentioned this guy, David Levy, who's got his own, he compiled a list on Twitter of these amazing of shows, like everything from, I watched It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman from the 1970s, a TV special.
Oh, wow.
Where it was so weird and bizarre and horrible, but Loretta Swit was in it.
That's a name he needs to have worked with. Sorry.
Please. You know what else I watched? And we've talked about this. This has had such a – we've talked to Richard Maltby, who created it and directed it. We talked to Andre DeShields and Ken Page. But Ain't Misbehavin'. Oh my goodness. Yeah. Everybody, if you're a student of musical theater or you're a lover of musical theater, just go on YouTube and watch the original. Just watch that original cast. Watch the broadcast of Ain't Misbehavin'. They did it like 4 or 5 years after it was a hit. So they're confident. They're comfortable. They feel good singing these songs again. I was blown away by it. It was basically 40 years ago. It's Andre DeShields' audition video for Hermes in Hadestown, because the man is serving up exactly what he's still giving to this day 40 years later, and it's just incredible. So yeah. So what have you been doing? When I called you today, Rob, on Skype, I saw a black and white film hastily being paused. What were you watching? And how much of TCM have you bought stock in?
Well, well, actually, I was watching a movie called The Lost Weekend, which won the Best Picture Award in the 1940s. I am watching every single Best Picture winner in chronological order. I started with Wings, which won the Oscar in 1927, and you caught me in the middle of The Lost Weekend, which I believe was 1945. I think I'm right on that. So I've watched every film from 27 to 45. Up until
how is it going so far? What's it like? As a completist, I love those kinds of things. I think that it sounds like a lot of fun.
Well, for me, it's really interesting, because I was saying this to a friend of mine yesterday. You know, what I like doing is I'll watch some of the movies I'm watching and I've never seen before, and I'm totally blown away by them. I'm just absolutely blown away by them. Then there is somewhere I'm watching, I'm going, oh, that's okay. I wonder what it was up against. And then you see what it beat out and you go, what the fuck? Like,
really?
I was watching Going My Way yesterday. Now, I will apologize to anyone if you're a Going My Way fan. It's a Bing Crosby film where he plays a priest who's like a young priest who comes in and like wants to change things up a little bit. The movie literally has zero conflict in it, because he's like, I want to come in and I want to change things up. And the old like Irish priest is like, you can't do that. And then the Irish priest is like, okay, you can do that. And that's literally the film. Literally within 3 minutes, the conflict is resolved. So it's just all these like excuses for Bing Crosby to sing songs. What's the big song that came out of Going My Way? Do you know? Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Wow.
And this movie is, I mean, I'm sorry, folks. If you're a Going My Way fan, God bless you. I just find it so dull. However, I was like, what did this beat out? It beat out Meet Me in St. Louis.
What?
I was like, how did this movie beat out Meet Me in St. Louis? So that's one that I'm a little like kind of confused about. But I saw, so anyway, so I actually, my favorite thing this week is actually one of the pictures that I watched. And that's actually, it kind of ties in perfectly. So I'm loving this. I'm absolutely loving this. My favorite thing for this week, if I may go first, is the second film ever to win the Best Picture Oscar. It is the first film that has sound as a Best Picture winner. We know Jazz Singer is the first picture with sound. This is the first Best Picture with sound to win. It's also the first musical to win Best Picture. Excuse me, I had to cough for a second. I didn't want to cough on the mic.
It's okay.
Thank you. It is called The Broadway Melody. The Broadway Melody is my favorite thing for this week. So, folks, The Broadway Melody comes out in 1929. And like I said, it's the first sound film to win an Academy Award for Best Picture, which is kind of exciting. It's got a score by Arthur Freed and Nacio Herb Brown. Now, you might be like, where might I know these names from? Kevin's nodding his head. Kevin, where do we know the names Freed and Brown from?
I don't know, but Nacio Brown, I know that name. I want you to help me because I can't place
we,
it. I can't,
we all know it because their music was the music that we heard in one of the most successful jukebox musicals of all time, Singing in the Rain. People forget the score for Singing in the Rain was comprised entirely of pre-sung music. So, sorry, folks, it is a jukebox musical. It's also a great jukebox musical. Singing in the Rain also did not win Best Picture, nor was it even nominated the year that it came out. So what won instead? Wow. The Greatest Show on Earth. You might be like, what the fuck is that? Exactly. So the Broadway Melody of 19, or sometimes known as the Broadway Melody of 1929, it's got music by Arthur Freed, Nacio Herb Brown. The big song to come out of this is literally, they sing it like every 5 minutes in the film, so you're going to get used to it after a while. You Were Meant for Me, which is also in Singing in the Rain, right? You were meant for me, I was meant for you. Brilliant lyrics there by the one and only Arthur Freed, Nacio Herb Brown. So anyway, now this is what I find so fascinating. It tells the story of two sisters, Harriet Hank Mahoney and her sister, Queenie Mahoney. Hank is the older sister. Queenie is the younger sister. Queenie is madly in love with a guy named Eddie Kearns. Eddie Kearns is played by an actor named Charles King. Now, Charles King, according to the studio at the time, they were like, he's going to be a big old star. So what they're going to do, this was MGM, by the way. MGM was like, Charles King's going to be such a big star, we're going to put him above the title, and the other two girls will be underneath. Charles King, I'm sorry, is one of the worst actors I've ever seen in my life. And he comes on screen, and these two women are like beautiful, intelligent, talented women. And you're like, they're fighting over him?
Mm-mm.
It's very bizarre.
Mm-mm.
So these two girls, they want to make it big. They want to go into the Francis Zanfield Follies. Does that sound familiar? Francis Zanfield. Couldn't say Ziegfeld.
Like Florence Ziegfeld.
And so they want to be in one of his reviews. And Eddie keeps saying, don't worry, you'll be in it. Don't you worry, I'll get you in it. And of course, he really can't live up to his part of the bargain without the two girls begging and pleading for their job. Now, here's what I find so interesting about this film. One, you're going to hear a lot of songs that you're familiar with if you've seen Singing in the Rain before. This is what we call a pre-code movie. Pre-code, I'm sure you know this, means the Hays Code, the code that was instituted in Hollywood when people were feeling that movies were getting a little bit immoral, and so there were certain things that you could not do in films anymore. And so before that, though, you kind of had carte blanche to really do what you wanted. In fact, if you watch the movie Wings, which won Best Picture the year before, you see male nudity in the film. And you're just like, oh. In the Broadway Melody, which is pre-code, we have a couple of interesting things because it takes place in the theater. We have an openly gay costume designer and an openly gay wardrobe mistress. And you look at, now they never say the word gay, but it's totally implied. At one point, the costume designer, who I think, please don't get angry, folks. He looks like a young Edwin. I don't think it is Edwin, but it looks like a young Edwin. He comes in and he's complaining about one of the things with the costumes. And he's like, I would never have anyone wear red. And the very, like, obviously lesbian costume mistress looks at him and goes, no, you'd have them in lavender. And you're like, and he just sort of like gives like a haughty little look. But it's so cool to see like openly gay portrayals of men and women in a film, especially at this time. And then after the Hays Code, all of that went away, because apparently once the Hays Code came in, no gay or lesbian, bisexual, trans people, nobody existed at that point. So Hays Code came in. Got rid of all that. So mine is the Broadway. Oh, there's one more thing I forgot to tell you, Kevin. Oh my God. There are two sisters, right? I told you the two sisters. The older sister dotes on the younger sister in a way that I've never really seen two sisters interact with each other before. I've seen two lovers interact this way with each other before, but never two sisters. There is like some incestuous undertones running throughout this film. At one point, the one sister is just talking and grabs her and full on kisses her on the lips for like an extended amount of time. So I have some questions about what's going on here in the Broadway Melody, but it is a fun film. I will say this, be prepared, folks. On Rotten Tomatoes and IMDb, it is the lowest ranked Best Picture winner. I will tell you, folks, you try to sit through How Green Was My Valley, and now you tell me what the lowest one should be. I'm just kidding. I liked How Green. I'm actually kidding. I shouldn't have used that as an example.
A Time for Singing is a fantastic musical, Rob.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sorry, folks. I actually cried all throughout How Green Was My Valley. You know what movie I did not like, Kevin? And I was like, oh, I'm going to love this film. The Best Picture winner, The Great Ziegfeld, bored the fuck out of me. Sorry, folks.
Okay, it's a longer one too. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes. Because it's on TCM. Because I was going to mention to our listeners, if you have cable, then you have TCM, then you have access to the app, and it's a fantastic app on the on your iPad or whatever. Because you can watch all of these. So this movie, Broadway Melody, is on the app because all of those Oscar-winning shows, they're streaming right now, I believe. And The Great Ziegfeld is on the app as well. And I looked at it and I thought, oh, maybe I should watch this. This is about Florenz Ziegfeld. I was like, 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Okay.
No, I guess I was smart to pass on that one.
And his wife was like a supervisor on the film and like would not let anything bad about him get through. So it's like this completely like whitewashed, idealized version of who Ziegfeld was. That one I was like, I cannot sit through this any longer. But also one more thing about the Broadway Melody I forgot to mention. It was also because there was so much sound involved, it was one of the first times they came up with the idea of playback and lip syncing to playback on a film.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUPS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
because they tried to do a lot of it live and realized this isn't going to work, and so they eventually went to playback. It's all, unfortunately, this is lost to us. At one point, they had a Technicolor sequence in the film. And so one part of the film was done in total vivid Technicolor. There's no prints of that around. So everything we see now still is from black and white. But go ahead, take a look. The Broadway Melody, it won Best Picture. MGM, one of the first musicals. Let me ask you this, Kevin, very quickly. I have to look at my answers.
Yeah, bud.
So it was the first one to win Best, first musical to win Best Picture. Kevin, can you tell me what the other movies are that have, that are musicals that have won for Best Picture?
So they were a musical on stage
only,
first.
Only, and then, well, no. They're just musicals in general. Only 10 musicals have won the Academy Award for Best Picture. Can you tell me what these 10 musicals are?
Obviously, Chicago.
Chicago, very good.
I don't. We is mentioned there anything.
Broadway, we mentioned. Well, we actually mentioned a couple. We mentioned Broadway Melody.
Melody.
We mentioned The Great Ziegfeld.
So that did win as well.
One Best Picture.
I don't know the older ones.
Going My Way, which we just talked about, which was the Bing Crosby picture.
Right? Cabaret.
No, Cabaret won every single award except it lost Best Picture. It lost Best Picture to. I'll give you a hint. Ready?
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Oh, well, obviously, Godfather. Yes. Of course. That was a good one. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I guess if a musical's going to
lose Pacino,
out to something,
it's going
to lose out to the Mafia.
Lost to Joel Grey. Al Pacino lost to Joel Grey. No offense to Joel Grey. That performance Al Pacino did was one of the most brilliant performances in a movie I've ever seen in my life.
Not according to the Academy of 1972.
Okay.
71.
So Broadway Melody, Great Ziegfeld, Going My Way. Okay, here's the next one. Ready, folks? MGM, Gene Kelly, Gershwin.
Oh, American in Paris.
Very good. After that, also Paris, but Lerner and Lowe. Yep. Gigi. Okay. After Gigi, you should know this one. Yada da 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 dum bum bum. Yada da 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 dum bum bum. Oh, that was
West Side Story. So West Side Story did not win. So it did not win the Tony Award because Music Man beat it in 1957. But in 1959 or whenever it was, they won the Academy Award.
Yes, and then this one you should know this. Audrey Hepburn, Rex Harrison.
Oh, well, of course, My Fair Lady.
Great.
Yeah.
That, and then Mary Poppins, Julie Andrews, Christopher Plummer.
Oh, of course, Sound of Music.
Okay, now
naturally.
Now here's one I always forgot. Not only, this is like one of my least favorite musicals. I'm sorry, folks. You might really like this musical. Forgive me. It's one that I'm like, I don't think I ever need to see this again.
What's new, Pussycat? Like,
no. Where is love? Does it fall from skies above?
Oh, Oliver. I always forget about Oliver. Because it's a British import, and we always forget that there were British imports in the 60s as well.
Yes.
We forget about the Irma La Douce, which is like a French import. We forget about like the Olivers, those. That's right.
Yes.
I totally forgot about
that. So those are the 10 that have
Consider yourself at home. Consider yourself part of the family. What, fisticuffs? Come on, what are you talking about?
I'm going to tell you why I don't like Oliver, and then we can move on to your favorite thing, if that is okay.
Sure.
Okay. There was a theater that was in Thousand Oaks, California, where I grew up, and they were doing a production of Oliver. Now, at the beginning of the performance, first of all, the production of Oliver was atrocious. That's the first thing I'm going to say. Mm-hmm. Sorry, folks. It was really bad. It was before the production, though, the woman who ran the company came out. Now, she literally looked like every real housewife you've ever seen in your life. She wore a silver glittery dress that was literally slit up to her hips. Her belle poitrines were hanging out. She'd obviously had them multiply enhanced and had so much surgery, she looked like a cat lady. So she comes out on stage and does like a 10-minute curtain speech. And then she says, and tonight's production of Oliver is being attended by the orphanage home of Ventura County. None of these kids have parents and none of them have love, much like the orphans in Oliver. But tonight they have the love of the theater. Thank you. and then went off stage. That is a true story, folks. That is a true, true story. Thousand Oaks, Oliver.
It's a little like that Annie production where she wakes up and it's all a big lie. I feel like that's basically what she's doing by like talking to the audience. It's like, don't even bother going on an escapism right now, because what the students you're about to see, they really are.
They understand. Like, they understand. They're not loved at home, and neither are these orphans. Thank you so much. And don't forget to come next season when we're doing Meet Me in St. Louis. This woman, I think, had the job for a year, and then I think she was let go. I don't know what happened. Allegedly. Worst production of Oliver. So at that point, I've never wanted to see Oliver ever again.
I can understand your reversion, definitely, Rob.
Thank you.
Definitely.
What was your favorite thing, Kevin? What is your favorite thing, Kevin?
So my favorite thing actually ties in – I hope this is okay that we talk about the project that you and I and other people are working on, the book.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So Rob is putting together with Peter Felicia, our great theater historian friend and writer, a book, a textbook on 50 musicals that really left an indelible impression on the American musical theater and where we are and how we got where we are. And I'm going to be writing a part on Oklahoma. So I've naturally been doing lots of research on Oklahoma and just diving into it. And it's a show I love so, so deeply. But this also ties into the passing of truly a legend in our business, and also a more it connects to me, but in a non-direct way. And I said this sentence to Sutton, my wife, earlier today, and she kind of laughed because she's like, does that make sense? But basically, Gerald Freeman, who is a great director and mentor and also educator, he was at University School, North Carolina School of the Arts for many, many years. He was the chancellor there, and he retired, but he still was there, and he passed away this past week. He was also, he directed, he was a part of Hair. He was the assistant director on West Side Story with Jerome Robbins. I mean, the man has a very legendary effect in the business, and he's been around for a long time, mentoring and educating. The sentence I said was, my mentor's mentor is my mentor. So I mourn the fact that he is passes, because what he taught his student, who happened to be my mentor, is how I got taught. So my mentor is a woman named Victoria Bussert. She is still the head of the musical theater program at Baldwin Wallace University, which is now when I went there, I was the second program underneath her, but now is one of the top musical theater schools in the country. This is 20 years later. But he was her mentor. She mentioned Gerald Freeman all the time, just like a mentor, like you would about a mentor. Mm-hmm. When I was in college, it was almost as if he was teaching. But he was very much a part of the presence. I didn't ever meet him, but I knew of his work because he was my mentor's mentor. So he was important to me. And so I say all this because my favorite thing this week is the reconstructed restoration production of Oklahoma, which North Carolina School of the Arts did. They dedicated it to Gerald Freeman. Yes. Jerry was already retired by then. This is about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. But what they did was, now get this, and this is how I need you to watch this. It's on YouTube. If you want to find it, just type in 1943 restoration. You could type in North Carolina. It'll pop up immediately. There's an act one and an act two. It was filmed for television. There were steady cams. It was like watching like the Metropolitan Opera, if you've ever watched those films. It's very well filmed. And it's the full production of Oklahoma. The original orchestrations by Robert Russell Bennett, which were carefully reconstructed by a team. The conductor. Now, we've mentioned his name on this podcast before because he has done a lot of historical recordings. He became the chancellor of North Carolina School of the Arts a little over 10 years ago, 2006 or 7. Took over for Jerry. His name is John Mauceri, Maucheri. And I was like, I remember I had an episode like 2 years ago, Rob, and I was like, is it Mauceri? Is it Mauceri? I don't know. I was so I'm embarrassed now that I did not know how to say his name. But he is the head of the school, but he also conducted this production and he hosts the telecast of this Oklahoma production. John Mauceri, and now I say it right, the French, the Italian way of saying it. So this is a restoration. All of the staging is all the original blocking. The sets are all the original sets. The costumes are all the original costumes. And my God, the colors. I mean, the color. It looks like it's guys and dolls. It's absolutely amazing when you really think about what the audience has watched in the 1940s. But listeners, if you were to watch this, and please go do watch this, it is – you have to put, though, the filter on. This is how – if I was in 1943, there's a war raging on, which there is right now. I want escapism. I want to know that things are going to be better. Oklahoma is not a state yet. We have to take away all of the given circumstances that we as a contemporary audience have. We forget about sometimes. But like Oklahoma represented the uncharted territory. Oklahoma was like the frontier, right? So this musical about Oklahoma and becoming a state and finding identity and finding your purpose in life, and every single character goes on a journey, changes, you know, and is reconstructed by going on, you know, by being in this show. And it gave an audience that really needed hope and happiness, escapism, but also that hope and happiness that we're talking about. So anyway, if you watch this, please just go into it with that filter. Know that you're watching a college production. It's a top tier, very professional college production, but it's still a college production. And this top tier conductor is conducting this, you know, this college orchestra. But what you get is you get to hear Robert Russell Bennett's orchestrations. You get to see all of Agnes DeMille's dances that were lovingly and painstakingly constructed by the great Gemze Delap. That's Gemze, G-E-M-Z-E, Delap, D-E-L-A-P-P-E. We were trying to get Gemze on our show. We wanted to get her on our show. Yes. Rob and I had talked about it from the very beginning. Gemze, because Gemze was with Agnes DeMille for decades. She was in Oklahoma. She danced many performances of the original production. And then for years, you know, was her assistant, and then reconstructed it for years and years. So who better than to reconstruct, you know, you want to see the original Dream Ballet? Well, thank goodness North Carolina has documented this production so that forever, 200 years from now, we will actually be able to see what this production was like and how it influenced where we got to today, how we have Hamilton. You can see the threads of characterization, of dancing, of telling the story through singing, of dancing, all of that stuff, and really understand how we evolved in just 75 years, because it's been like 78 years or whatever since the original, you know, and how we've – because I watched the Trevor Nunn revival with Hugh Jackman, which is – that's definitely worth watching. That's amazing. In 2000 or 1998 or whenever it was, that was definitely that period in everyone's life, how we were going to make that show work. And then to watch the original and then to know the revival that we all just saw a year ago, they all work. They all bring the story to life. They all breathe life into it. But to go back and see how it was originally intended, warts and all, it's really worth it. And it really is magical. And so my favorite thing this week is going back to the original production of Oklahoma and discovering the same joy that it brought to so many people, whether you were a soldier who was about to go off to war or you were a family member who was trying to escape from the war. It still brought the same sense of happiness and joy and pride in who we are and where we are going to go. And so in a spirit of hope and happiness, my favorite thing is Oklahoma! Exclamation mark.
That's amazing. That's fantastic. Now I have to ask you, Oklahoma! Exclamation mark, or this specific production of Oklahoma! Exclamation mark?
Well, I said Oklahoma to tie it, just to put a big old, like, just all of Oklahoma. But this production, no, it's the show, Rob. I'm going to say the show Oklahoma, because that's how it was originally intended. Was these writers and I don't want to get into all of the history because I'm going to write about it. But basically, it's the people need. It was a risk, and people needed change, and people needed happiness, and not just like half-naked women like parading themselves around like all the other and Mike Todd entertainments that were happening in the 40s, but to actually challenge people and to say, hey. Knock, knock. Who's there? Humanity. Like, this is it right now. This is humanity put up in your face. This is real. This is what you're fighting for. This is why it's worth like the trouble that you're going through. This is why it's like, because people have relationships and people are want to connect and all of those things that even in 1943, that's what they saw. And you can still see it right now in that production, the way they did it, the way they wrote it, you know, and I think that's why it's universal. So the show, I think, yeah, you can watch the 1943 version, you can watch the 1999 version, or you can watch the 2019 version. They're all variations on the theme. They are.
I love that.
And,
good.
And, And having seen the revival and being so shocked by it, having done a lot of more research and reading the script and really digging in, and now I fully believe that is – Hammerstein would not be mad about that revival. He'd been proud that so many different themes and stories can be told in the same original story, which is this Lynn Riggs amazing story, Oklahoma, which is actually simple. It's actually very, very simple. But yet the greatest truths are from these simple stories. So mine's going to be Oklahoma.
That's great. What fabulous, Kevin. So Oklahoma for you, Broadway Melody for me. And then also we want to mention, we're going to say this towards the end, but we just lost one of our former guests. One of our
can't believe it.
Wonderful guest, the wonderful playwright, librettist Terrence McNally passed away a few hours ago. Unfortunately, due to complications from Corona. So we, if you want, please go back, take a listen. We'll talk more about him on another episode, but please, you know, go back, listen to our interview with him. He was just marvelous. And wanted to just talk about all the one. This was a person I felt, Kevin, that just wanted to spend every single day in a theater, whether he was creating it
yep.
or observing it. He just wanted to be in a theater. And his interview with us was fabulous. He was so kind. He was so generous, so gracious, and really just loved talking about all the shows he saw that were very influential to who he was as an artist. So our thoughts go out to him. Our thoughts go out to his husband, Tom. But we will talk more about him and his effect on us because he was very influential on me growing up, reading his plays and all that wonderful stuff. But go ahead, go read one of his plays. There's a great documentary on him that's on Amazon Prime. His collected works are available for purchase on Kindle. Go and celebrate Terrence McNally's life, and we will talk about him more, I'm sure, next time. So that's from us. That's it. Oklahoma and the Broadway Melody. Take care of yourself. Stay safe. Yes, Kevin.
And tell us what you're listening to and how you're keeping busy, and tell us what you're how you're filling the time, and as opposed to the other hours that you have in the day. But what kind of things are you listening to, and what kind of favorite things are on your mind right now? Do let us know.
Yes, you stay safe. You stay healthy. You take care of yourselves. Take care of each other, and keep when the performing arts come back, go and attend with a vengeance and celebrate. All right, till next time.
Bye, everybody.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.